Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could join us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We continue looking at books that were given away as Christmas gifts by the First Presidency between the years 1981 and 2017. Yesterday, we were looking at the book Gospel Standards, which was a compilation of statements made by the seventh president of the church, Heber J. Grant, put together by G. Homer Durham, who was the historian of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Before we jump into this book, we have a special going on for this series.
If you'd like to help out our radio ministry, we have a special offer you might like to consider for a generous gift of any size. We will send you an electronic copy of Bill McKeever's In Their Own Words, a compilation of LDS leader citations that is close to 400 pages in length, and we've been using many of those quotations in this series. What you need to do is go to mrm.org, go to the donate button on the right side of the top main page, and then put in your amount. In the Add a Note section, put the letters PDF and then provide your radio station call letters. Or if you listen on podcasts, mention the state where you live, and that will help us out immensely. And we'll send you an electronic copy of Bill's compiled quotes in their own words, and 100% of the gifts will go to our radio ministry.
Well, let's look at Gospel Standards, statements by the seventh president of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Heber J. Grant. He died in 1945. Today, we're going to dedicate this show to the subject of the Word of Wisdom, which is, of course, the Mormon health code. Many of the things in the Word of Wisdom are not all that spectacular. Some of them are kind of strange, and one of them has to do with the drinking of tea and or coffee. The first quotation that we're going to look at is found on page 42, and this is what I would call as the classic slippery slope logical fallacy. After Eric reads this, you'll see exactly what I mean by that.
And it's titled The Road to Apostasy. He writes, "I have seen men in high places start in by drinking tea and coffee saying, that doesn't amount to anything. Then next using liquor. Then next finding fault with the authorities of the church. And the first thing I knew, they left the church. But I have never known a person, man or woman, who attended his meetings and partook of the spirit and inspirations that are present in the meetings of true, faithful Latter-day Saints who has ever apostatized."
Do you think that's really true? Let's think about what he's saying here. "I've never known a person, man or woman, who attended his meetings, partook of the spirit and inspiration that are present in the meetings of true, faithful Latter-day Saints who has ever apostatized." Well, I don't know if it has anything to do with imbibing tea or coffee, but it seems like the people he's describing in the latter part of that paragraph would be what you would call your typical TBM, a true believing Mormon. Of course, they believe it. They're going to stick around. They're not going to leave. But can we really assume that just because an individual in the church might start drinking tea and or coffee, that that is going to necessarily lead to them using liquor? I mean, really? Is that a scientific study that's been done here, or is he just making this up as he goes?
I guess we could call it the gateway drink.
The gateway drink. That's a good way of putting it.
Another quote on the Word of Wisdom, page 51. He writes, "Many a professed Latter-day Saint in hard times has lost the home that sheltered his wife and his children, who, if he had observed the Word of Wisdom, would have been able to save it. The violation of the Word of Wisdom has meant the difference between failure and success. By observing the Word of Wisdom, sufficient money to pay the interest on the mortgage would have been forthcoming, with additional help to take care of his family and farm." This almost sounds like the prosperity teaching of Mormonism. If you just follow the Word of Wisdom, you'll have enough money to pay your mortgage.
Does that sound almost like a pragmatic theme, though? The reason why we want to follow this Word of Wisdom is more out of pragmatism. Well, obviously, if you're not drinking alcohol, alcohol can be kind of expensive, so I guess you could save some money there. And coffee, how expensive could coffee have been back then, or tea? Is this, again, really a truism? Are you telling me that people who followed the word of wisdom never lost their house? I mean, could we look at it from that angle? I don't know if this is really a scientific study that's been done. It sounds more as a threat by Heber J. Grant than anything else.
I think it's very close to what you had said on that first quote, a slippery slope. If you don't follow the word of wisdom, then failure in financial ways and taking care of your family is going to follow. I don't think those go hand in hand at all. Pages 54 and 55 of Gospel Standards, this is what Grant says under liquor and virtue. Let me say to you, Latter-day Saints, that any man or woman professing to be a Latter-day Saint who keeps liquor in his or her home is not living the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know that there are girls, good, fine, true, virtuous girls, who have lost their virtue because of liquor in the homes of Latter-day Saints. They lose their senses, become drunk, stupid, and then they lose their virtue. And I know what I am talking about.
Now, if he had said that in the 21st century, he'd probably be labeled a sexist. But at first, when he says, let me say to you, Latter-day Saints, that any man or woman professing to be a Latter-day Saint who keeps liquor in his or her home is not living the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, it appears from the context, it's not just by keeping liquor in your home. It's using the liquor that's in your home. It's not just because the bottle happens to be parked there that that makes it a sin. It's actually the use of it.
Well, when you talk about being a sexist, why does he talk about the girls who have lost their virtue because of liquor? I mean, many men probably have as well, and I don't know why he singles out the females, but he did, and I find that to be a very interesting quote. How about this on page 249? He says, I believe as firmly as I believe that I am standing here before you today that on three separate and distinct occasions in my life, I would have lost my life had I not been an observer of the word of wisdom. But on account of the pure blood I had in my veins and the promise of God and the keeping of the commandments of God, my life has been spared. Bill, let me ask you, it almost sounds to me like this is some kind of a good luck charm. Would you think that maybe he's saying that by keeping the word of wisdom, it's going to bring you good fortune?
Well, I guess even a professing Christian could fall into that trap by thinking if I don't do certain things and God owes it to me, that I will be protected somehow. Perhaps that is the way he's looking at it. When I read that quotation, I became very intrigued by it. So you and I both looked up the conference report that this comes from. And that was a conference message that he gave in October of 1937. Had he not observed the word of wisdom, there were three occasions where he would have lost his life. I was kind of interested. What were those three occasions? Well, when you go back and you read this conference message, he most certainly does talk about the virtues of following the word of wisdom, but he doesn't tell you what those three instances are.
It's almost like Paul, the Apostle Paul, who said that he prayed three times to get the thorn from his flesh taken care of, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. We've always liked to speculate what was that, and we don't know. And here, we did read through pretty much that whole conference message, and not one hint as to what he's talking about on three separate and distinct occasions where he would have lost his life.
But he did mention how he had attended the funeral of two of his former friends who had lost, it seemed like, everything of value to them because of alcohol. Is that what he was referring to? Well, if so, it's kind of vague. You almost have to force yourself to draw that kind of a conclusion when he tells that story about visiting the funeral. But you had mentioned how in that quotation that we cited earlier about young virtuous girls becoming drunk, stupid, and then losing their virtue, in that story of the funeral, he kind of alludes that his friends got drunk and stupid. So I guess he was being fair, not just picking on the ladies. He's also picking on the guys as well. There was one more quote that I wanted to look at. It's Heber J. Grant's not wanting to be linked with anything that he would consider to be unrighteous when he's talking about announcements. And maybe I should just let you read it, Eric. It would explain itself better than I can.
Yeah, I think this is referring to the appearance of evil and not to have anything to do with it. He says on teas, I want to announce that I shall be glad if we will quit giving notices to the papers, and he's talking about newspapers, of what is termed teas that are being held in our homes. I read of a tea being given in the home of President Heber J. Grant and of the tea table being decorated. There is no tea table in the home of President Heber J. Grant. I would like us to change that name in our newspapers, at least so far as Latter-day Saints are concerned, and have it a quote-unquote social gathering or a lunch or anything you have a mind to call it, and quit calling it a quote-unquote tea when every Latter-day Saint is asked by the Lord to leave tea, coffee, and tobacco alone.
I can almost sympathize with him in that when you think about it, because here you are being the leader of this organization and you're harping on the fact that members should not be imbibing in coffee, tea, or even using tobacco, but yet you announce a gathering as a tea. Now, for most of us, that would not be a problem at all. We don't see the prohibition of tea, certainly like the Mormons do. Quite honestly, I don't really even understand why today in the 21st century that tea or coffee is even an issue with Latter-day Saints because of so many things that have been discovered since the 1800s when this became a word of wisdom. And I'm using those words purposely because it was not a commandment when this came out in the 1830s. It was a suggestion. It says very specifically in section 89 that it's not a commandment, but it became a commandment in the 20th century, even though Brigham Young said that they weren't supposed to be partaking of certain things, although you weren't excommunicated, you weren't prohibited from going to the temple at that time. Joseph Smith did make it a requirement to follow the word of wisdom if you were to be an officer in the church, which of course he was an officer in the church, but yet there are historical events recorded that shows that even Joseph Smith did not often follow the same dictates that are found in section 89.
The word of wisdom is a health code, and yet we have found that tea, coffee, hot drinks, there's nothing that is detrimental to a person who imbibes in that. Do you see the day, Bill, where the church might allow Latter-day Saints to imbibe in tea and coffee?
Well, I don't know why they wouldn't, certainly not from a scientific aspect, but I think that one of the reasons why it's going to probably be there for a while is because it certainly does tend to show who is loyal to the system as opposed to who is not. And I really think that Joseph Smith instituted the word of wisdom as a means of showing what authority he had and how he could push his authority on the membership for something as, in my opinion, such a silly thing as drinking coffee or tea.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear previous shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is free on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the right side where it says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today.